We come back. We're still at the letter to the Ephesians, and I forgot to update the slide. It says part two. It should say part three, and that's my fault. But we're still Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1. So here we are. Write to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I love how it bounces back on me. It's like, I know your works. And then it goes back to verse 1. Your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. We talked about that last week. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And so I told y'all that we would look at this and wrestle with this issue. And the first is just this very simple thing from there in verse 6. Jesus says, you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And there's no two ways around that sentence. Jesus says he hates something. Now, this doesn't wash well for a lot of us. I don't want to blur this out and not deal with it, because the idea that Jesus would hate anything just bothers us. Because after all, you know, he who loves is of God, and love, you know, is from God. After all, God is love. So the idea that Jesus hates something, anything, anybody, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, really should, that should fire up your ears. You should see that and say, wait, what? What's really going on here? But the thing about Jesus hating something is that you can actually see this through the whole of the Old Testament. Fully God, fully human. And throughout the Old Testament, we see God talk about the things that he hates. He hates wickedness. He hates abominations. He hates certain behaviors. He hates, you know, you see it in Proverbs. There are six things the Lord hates, even seven. It's actually where the Roman Catholics get their list of mortal sins, or things that God said he hates in Proverbs. So, we shouldn't be as surprised by it as sometimes we are. But the other thing about hate is this. Hate's a bad thing. You shouldn't hate stuff. Sometimes parents will get that when a kid says, I hate Brussels sprouts. Now, you can dislike them, but you can't hate them. It's okay. You can hate Brussels sprouts. I don't know that they'll be on the full list of biblical things that Jesus hates, but they're probably on there. Responding to something. You can actually do something worse to somebody than to hate them. You can just not care. Apathy is a worse way to behave towards something than to hate it. But the other thing is this that you should take note of, and this is the second point, and that is that Jesus hates practices. Notice what it says. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Hate the practices. Doesn't endorse hating the Nicolaitans. Now, as we take that phrase in hand, that he hates the practices of the Nicolaitans, we need to answer a very important biblical studies question. Who were the Nicolaitans? And everybody who knows who the Nicolaitans were is all sitting on this side of the sanctuary. Because ain't nobody there. We actually don't fully know. There is some history, and then there's some legendary stuff that develops that, well, this developed, this Nicholas became Nick, one of the early deacons, actually went wrong and started to teach bad things. And the Nicolaitans were the ones who followed after him. We have no biblical material that defines what the Nicolaitans... They come up twice in Revelation where Jesus says they're bad. But nowhere do we have specifically what they do. What we do know is that what they were doing was bad enough that the God of the universe, I highlighted them and talked about hating their practices. But he doesn't hate them. To hate other people would be to say that they're beyond redemption, that they're beyond forgiveness. And one of the things that we hold dear, one of the truths that we hold very dear as followers of Christ, is that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, which is what we find in Hebrews. But before that, the wages of sin of all stripes is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, which means that anybody can receive that gift, no matter how hateful their practices have been. There is still redemption, because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die to cover some sins. He died for all sins and for all sinners. So what does Jesus hate? He hates the practices of the Nicolaitans because they're sinful practices. I would say that they were probably also sinful practices that were destructive to people that were supposed to be following him. We see in the time of the New Testament that a couple of different batches of people come along. You have the people outside of the church who try to persecute and destroy the church. And that's what Saul is, for example, before the road to Damascus. And you have that from Roman authorities, and you have that with a mob in Ephesus when they get out in this town square shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." But the ones for whom the stronger condemnation New Testament are reserved, it's very similar to what you see in the Old Testament, and it is those who are supposed to be within the church. It's the people who should have known better, and perhaps even did, and then went the wrong way. And we see that. We see Paul dealing with that with the Judaizers, those who came through and decided the grace of God's not enough, we're going to have some legalism to go with it. We see that when Jesus confronts the Pharisees and Sadducees and talks about how guys should be Israel's teachers, and yet you've got this so wrong that you go out and you cross oceans and oceans to make a convert and turn him into twice the son of hell that you were. And so I think that that's probably what we have here, is a group of people who arose from within the church, and because of their sinfulness were destroying people's faith. And I think that's something that we need to take well in hand, is to pay attention to what are those things that arise and where do they arise that destroy people's faith. Because practices that destroy Christians and they pop up within the church, I think that's something that Jesus says falls under his things that he hates. Now, the third point is this: we should hate what he hates. Way back in the day in history, the Anglo-Saxon kings would have their knights swear an oath of fealty to them, and that's their oath of loyalty, to become a knight, be allowed to walk around in a big shining armor and have the big sword, ride the horse, look fancy and all that. One of the portions of that oath was that you would be true to the Lord, to your Lord, the Lord of the manor. Love those he loves and hate those he hates. And yes, that's paraphrased because it's originally in Anglo-Saxon, which none of us speak, so it doesn't really matter, does it? If we got it exactly right. And on top of that, none of us are looking to put on suits of armor and walk around with swords. More so the pity, but that would still, but still, if we're going to follow the Lord well, not only will we love what he loves, we'll hate what he hates. We will love people. We will hate sinful practices. We will love those who need to be restored and brought back into the fold. We will hate those things which pulled them away in the first place. We will love the unity of the body of Christ. We will hate those things which destroy it. We will love what it takes. We will love lost people enough to do whatever we can to explain the gospel to them fully. But we will hate any warping of the truth of God's word that takes the gospel and turns it into some little checkbox thing that has no real meaning in people's lives, that doesn't result in a transformed life. We will love what he loves and will hate what he hates. But we will never, if we want to be true to Christ, we'll never come to the point that we forsake our first love. Instead, we will listen. Him who has an ear, listening to what the Spirit says to the churches, conquer, and therefore have the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Which, by the way, we should pick up that imagery there. The tree of life in the paradise of God should sound familiar, right? If it doesn't, go all the way to the first book of the Bible and read Genesis chapter 2. This is Revelation chapter 2. Look in Genesis chapter 2. See the reference there to the tree of life that God provided. Chapter 2, chapter 3 for Adam and Eve. And we begin to see this picture that redemption results in not just things being okay, but instead things being restored to the fullness and the greatness.